Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg, and Carl, I see that you've joined me yet once again. I appreciate that.
Hello, Fred.
Caught you off guard there, didn't I?
I was making a note to myself.
Okay. So the topic that we chose to talk about in this one was probably illustrated just inadvertently by that catching you off guard for a moment, is that as a reliability professional, we often have to deal with senior managers and senior management or general managers or project managers for a big project or CEO. And they may not be thinking about reliability all the time. And in fact, they probably shouldn't be. Yet what is their role as the chief reliability officer? And I use that phrase because we did a Dare to Know interview. I don't know. Did you hear that episode, Carl? The one on Andy Rennick?
Yes, I did. It's a great episode.
Tim interviewed Andy Rennick, who's the CEO of Qualmark. And he talked at length about the role of the CEO in the world of reliability engineering. And he made the point that you shouldn't delegate the responsibility for the reliable performance of your product. You can delegate tasks and action items and responsibilities to get things done, but when the customer has a failure, they call you.
Yes, that's right. They don't call the reliability engineer.
No. Although I've heard people do get those calls on occasion, but the idea is that, well, what is the role of a general manager or a CEO concerning reliability and the reliability of their product and reliability in particular? And Carl, we've both been in large corporate settings and have faced this, and we've worked with a good number of folks. But I know that in your practice, you often start the engagement by sitting down with the senior management to sense the scope and gauge where they are in their support of the reliability program. You know, what do you find is this spectrum of responses you get from these requests and discussions with the managers?
Yeah, well, I'll answer it this way. I find a lot of variation in that response. One time I walked into a defense contractor and I went
to
into
remain,
the
to remain unnamed, I'm
yes,
sure.
And walked into the VP office and with some of the staff members were there, some of the directors, and I asked them who has responsibility for reliability in your company, and they said, well, if you walk down the hallway about six cubicles, you'll see so and so, and he's responsible for reliability. And of course, right away there, I know that we have a problem. Because they haven't integrated what their role is for reliability. And on some other companies, I've walked into another boardroom, and the VP of operations in this company was very interested in the subject of reliability. He says, I have responsibility for reliability. I just don't know what to do.
Right.
Now, that opens up a good conversation. So in the first instance, that I talked about where reliability is down in a cubicle, I made a note to myself, and I had to spend considerable time with the management as to what their roles and responsibilities are. They had a good bottom-up reliability program. I'll say good, marginally good, but it wasn't integrated with management. And the second example where the management knew they had responsibility for reliability, they just didn't know what to do, then I also made a mental note to coach them on what their roles are. Mm-hmm. So let me just say a few words on, because I've been a reliability engineer and I've been a reliability manager. And And there really
is a
difference.
You've been on the dark side then.
Yes, I've crossed over to the dark side. And there is a difference that not everybody understands. We don't want the management to be reliability engineers. We don't want them down there doing the calculations or working or leading the FME teams, or they have specific roles and responsibilities that have to do with reviews, that have to do with mentoring, that have to do with procedures and guidelines and approvals.
Resource allocation.
Resource allocation, exactly. And the key is is educating management as to what their roles and responsibilities are regarding reliability. And just as a side conversation, if we were quality engineers, we'd be having the same conversation. If we're safety engineers, the same if we were service engineers or maintenance engineers.
Or even electrical engineers and mechanical designers. Everybody has a role of which they rely on the leadership team for all kinds of things. And having some clear understanding of how those two intermix is critical. Now, for reliability, it's one of those things that gets tied up with customer satisfaction and market share and branding and all kinds of these other larger business objectives, as do many of the other disciplines. Carl, one of the things I always ask, it's not who's responsible. I would ask, who owns reliability?
Yes.
And usually, what do you mean by own? Who deals with reliability proactively or reactively? And let me phrase it this way. When does management get involved concerning reliability? And I would be talking to all kinds of people in the organization and when there's a problem, only when there's a major customer or failure or line down. And then they get very active and they want, hourly updates and so we try to design a really good product so that we don't get the management attention. And it's too late and it's too little. And while it's necessary to solve problems and drive to a solution, I think you and I, Carl, certainly agree that that second manager you talk to that says, I'm responsible, but I don't know what to do, is in a much better shape than the one that knows how to pound their fist on the desk and yell at people to get problems fixed.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. I always start, Fred, when I'm working with management, with what I call the reliability strategic vision. And that integrates the topics you talked about, market share and branding and the different things that managers are consumed with or consider. And all those things that affect reliability from a strategy standpoint of the product. Where do we want to be in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years? How do we relate to the competition? What are the resources that we need to bring in? I call it the reliability strategic vision. That's the compendium of concerns that management has regarding reliability. Mm-hmm. And it's more than a number. So people say, well, okay, let's set the reliability goal. All right, well, it's 98%. Well, that's not enough. We have to include the other elements in the definition of reliability, and we have to include the resource aspects and the organizational aspects of reliability. So the roles and responsibilities of management is a topic, and they can't delegate the roles and responsibilities that management should have for reliability. They can delegate tasks.
Right.
But then once they've delegated the tasks, they have to oversee the tasks and review them and ensure they're executed and provide resources and remove roadblocks.
Well, there's larger general management type factors here. I remember one group I worked with when I was a starting engineer, basically in reliability world, design for manufacturing engineer, actually. And the program manager, one-on-one, when I would talk to him, was very supportive, made sure I had all the resources, walked through the reports and analysis I did and tried to understand that and seemed really to get it. Yet I wasn't getting the same kind of response when we had staff meetings or group meetings. And then it was about time to market, time to market, time to market, time to market. This is a consumer product. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I know you time to market's important. And it's a challenge in that you're running this large design team effort and you've got some major milestones and it's a big deal to get it out on time. Yet if you ship a product that fails in the first month, it's really a wasted effort. And he goes, I know that. It's just that as the senior manager, I have to be hyper vigilant on the mark, on the time to market. That's the primary message. So it's in balance. The reliability aspect was in balance. So I had kind of the best of where I didn't get the overt, over the top support for reliability, but I learned later that I should not expect that. There are many priorities for product development, getting products to market and designing products. It's just, where's the balance? And what I did see later was that the attention and the questions that he asked of the mechanical engineers, the software engineers, and those other teams on the program did incorporate the reliability aspects. It just wasn't the number one big banner, you know, in your face priority. But it still had emphasis at the right times.
Excellent. Very good. Very good. I had one project where I helped the company develop the procedures, the business procedures that achieve reliability. We had to start it was almost a brainstorming session with the management saying, how do we achieve reliability in this product line? What are the tasks and the processes that need to be in place? And I mean business processes mm-hmm. that need to be in place to achieve reliability, and get a chalkboard out and people, well, we need to do this and then we need to do this. We'll call that the reliability process. And the reliability process has certain tasks, and those tasks can be identified. We wrote technical procedure bulletins for those tasks, and they involve the entire organization. Mm-hmm. What does the design engineer do? What does the quality engineer do? What does the manufacturing engineer do? What do the different people do to achieve reliability and when? How do we integrate design reviews? How do we integrate FMEAs? How do we integrate all the different tools together? When do we develop the reliability plan? When do we approve it? When do we do testing? All these questions I would call the reliability process, and that is the responsibility of management, and it cannot be delegated.
Yeah. One of the ways you can recognize as a listener to this is take a look around your own organization, and if reliability of the variety of tasks you're doing are a rote sequence of, say, a checklist of 10 things they get done with every program, it might be time to bring this discussion back up and find out, are you part of the process? Is it integrated appropriately? Is it impacting and making decisions or not? It's, in my mind, it's a symptom that the management team has forgotten their role in the reliability program. It might be a subject for a whole nother episode, Carl, though, is what happens when things are going well, right? And the product is reliable and there's not a lot of failures and it becomes very, very quiet. And I mention this because it's kind of the history of Hewlett-Packard's reliability program. In the 80s, they recognized at the CEO level, John Young recognized that they needed to get reliability under control and create reliable products. They were moving more and more into consumer products and diversifying quite a bit. And I think the numbers I saw was that it was about 4% of net revenue was going to warranty. And it's just one measure of it. Mm-hmm. And so he went to, I think it was an interview with the Wall Street Journal. He said, we're going to reduce warranty by an order of magnitude by the end of the decade. So this was 1983, and by late 1989, they had almost achieved that. They were down to like 9 and a fraction times reduced. So they were down to about 1% of net revenue was a warranty expense.
Okay. Very good.
That translates into billions of dollars.
Yeah, that's real money. The question for the listener is, what do you do as a reliability engineer if your management is not enlightened on good reliability processes?
Well, it goes back to that notion is that if things are going well, they're going to go focus on other areas. So John Young had left HP, and I arrived and was looking around as a reliability engineer in the corporate group in about 95 or so. I think it was about that time frame. And that 10X program, as it was called, had been pretty much dismantled. The general managers and the CEOs were focused on other priorities and other market share, all kinds of other things. And they stopped asking for and acting on the questions that they had been trained to look at and monitor, the monitoring part. And so it took me almost 2 years to find the warranty number again. This was before the corporate recording or SEC reporting rules on warranty. And it was back up to 4.5%. And so it's one of those things where it's got to have the right amount of attention in order for it to stay alive. And so you're exactly right. Is one of the roles then as a reliability professional is what can you do? And in that case, the HP case, is the team I was on went to the senior managers and said, here's the situation, here's the recommendations, and here's what you need to do about it, and here's how much money it involves.
Yeah, and you know, it takes a certain amount of risk or willingness to take risks to walk into a management office and say, here, I need your help. I can't achieve reliability by myself. I have some data I can give you. You know, here's our current warranty, or here's our returns, or that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But I need your help. Here's some things I need you to do. And I think it should be part of every reliability engineer's experience or training to know how to interact with management. What do you expect and need from management in order to be successful?
That I'm quite sure we have that on the list, is how do you manage up? And it's a critical thing that we need to be able to do, because what you don't want is at the end of the year to say, well, we don't have any reliability problems. What good are you? Mm-hmm. What did you do?
Yes. I've managed a number of different reliability groups, and I would tell them we really want to work ourselves out of a job if possible.
So, right. The trick is to remain visible, and that includes managing up. And if you're trying to change the culture, or you're trying to garner the support that you do from your senior managers, is be specific. Talk in their language. It's money or uptime or throughput or customer satisfaction. What is it that's important to them? And without jumping into a whole nother topic, but the idea is that the general managers and senior managers still have a responsibility and have a role to play for a successful reliability program. And sometimes we need to remind them of that and make it easy for them to fulfill that obligation.
That's a good point.
All right. So let's wrap it up here. And if you've got a Dilbert pointy-haired boss kind of creature in your organization, we'd like to hear the story, and maybe we'll figure out a couple of ideas what to do about it. Or if you've got a great example of somebody that gets it, and here's some best practices or how that happened or what behaviors they do, let us know. We'd love to hear your comments and feedback on that, and share it with the rest of our community. Likewise, if you've got a question that you'd like us to talk about on the show, we'd sure like to hear from you. It's where we get a lot of our inspiration for the subjects and topics here, is from comments and questions that we get. So we invite you to participate in the discussion. So, Carl, my coffee cup is empty. I think it's time for me to go get a refill and find out what else I should be doing today.
Well, thank you, Fred. I enjoyed the conversation.
All right. Thanks, Carl. And for everybody out there, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.